And it's 1:31. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We're breaking into our program and bringing you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus. Over the weekend, we saw an additional 1,466 new coronavirus cases. Today, we have a total of 33,228. Now we go live to the governor speaking from the state capitol. This is KYR News.
And I think that's a very appropriate message for today. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero. His first day in the saddle as the acting Secretary of Health. Also joined by Mitchell Simpson, who has an important message in terms of our energy assistance here in Arkansas. He's with the Arkansas Office of Energy. Let me first say that I grew up on a farm, and my dad worked very hard on the farm. And one thing that he taught me was that neighbors help neighbors. And it was just a consistent message to me, and he said it by example. He went to help the neighbors if they needed help combining or baling the hay. He was always helping the neighbors, and of course the neighbors always helped us. And I think that's what farming really represents here in this state, is a lot of individual enterprise, but also a lot of helping neighbors and strength for the community. And I think that is relevant today. As you can see behind me, we have a logo, Together for Arkansas. And during COVID-19, how you help your neighbor is just that. And that is simply to wear a mask. And it's still surprising me as to how many people think wearing a mask is about protecting yourself, and it's really about helping your neighbor. It's about being together as a state, is simply working together to try to get through this pandemic, this challenge that we face. And I think that you'll see from the statistics today that we still have a lot of work to do. And let me start by saying that since this is the first day of the statewide mask mandate, that I wanted to review a couple parts of that. Anthony, if you could pull that up. We covered this last week, but I wanted to reiterate it because there's some confusion out there as to when you have to wear a mask. And yes, it's for indoor and outdoor environments where you cannot distance yourself by 6 feet or more with somebody else. And why is this important? If you're on a tractor, if you're in a on a farm operation, then unless you're having a convention, you don't need to wear a mask because you're socially distanced. And so it's not a burden to live with. And then you see the exemptions. I won't go through all of those, but please pay attention to the exemptions because that guides you as to where you need to have a mask on and where you can feel safe in taking the mask off. And of course, one of those is participating in or performing job duties where a 6 feet distance is not achievable. The mask is inhibitory to the ability to safely and effectively perform the job duty. And so we recognize that there's people that are working hard in very tough industries, and we want everyone to work to be socially distanced of 6 feet. If you can't, wear a mask, but there are certain, if it's going to compromise your own safety, obviously common sense has to dictate in those circumstances. And so if you go on there, I think that's that covers that, but as this mandate is put into place today, I know that most Arkansans want to help their neighbor. They want to get through this together, and that's the best way to do it. It's something our individual responsibility can make a big difference in our future. And let me go through the cases. We were not here over the weekend. And just to review, Friday we had 648 new cases, Saturday 771, and Sunday we had 695 new cases. So you can see it's almost flat in terms of those cases. One day was up more than the rest. And then today we had 699 new cases. And so that brings our total case number to 33,927 cumulative total in terms of our COVID cases. 699 new cases, and you can see the top 11 counties, which The fact that there are 11 counties with more than 20 new cases in each of those counties indicate that there is a lot of spread of COVID-19 across various parts of Arkansas and not just simply congregated in one area. The top counties was Washington County with 94, Pulaski County with 60, Benton County with 57. And then you had Craighead County with 28, Mississippi County with 26, Pope County with 26, Sebastian County with 25, and then you had Arkansas and Faulkner County, each with 21. And I might have missed Garland and Miller, each with 24. And so you can see the 11 counties that have more than 20, the rest have fewer than 20 in terms of their new cases. And then if we go to the graphics, we see here the number of new cases in Arkansas flattening out, but it's at a very high level of flattening out. You go next to the 7-day rolling average, and here again you see the peak in the 7-day rolling average. We went down from that, up a little bit. We're still lower than the peak, but it's too high. The number of currently hospitalized, and I want to spend just a second on this, and here we see that we reached a peak, and then we went down, and we're back up. And so, it's still something that we're watching very carefully, because as cases go up, a percent of those will wind up in the hospital, and we've got to be able to make sure that we reduce the cases so others can heal, they can come home, and we're not overfilling the capacity of our hospitals. And then this is something that just emphasizes a point. Department of Geographic Information Services prepares this from time to time, and it compares various states in terms of testing or different statistics. This one is hospitalizations, and this is not where I like to be third, but in terms of hospitalizations per 100,000, so it's per capita, Arkansas is too high. You've got a number of states, including Texas, that is getting so much publicity with their hospital capacity, but we have more in terms of per capita hospitalizations than even some of those larger states. And so that shows the potential stress on our hospital capacity, also the strain that some of our hospital workers will be under. For that reason, I've been requested to provide a National Guard assistance, as we've done before. If you remember, we provided National Guard assistance in Central Arkansas to assist UAMS and others here in the Central Arkansas area. I'm authorizing 10 National Guard personnel to support the case management work of Washington Regional Medical Center for the next 30 days. This is a short-term relief effort for the hospital to help them as they requested to be able to identify additional resources that might help, and we'll work with them to accomplish that. But I'm authorizing those 10 additional National Guard personnel to assist in the case management at Washington Regional Medical Center. And then if you'll go on to the testing side of things, you can see our 7-day rolling average of positivity, and whereas we got way too high last week above 10%, we're now down to below 10%, but it needs to get lower. Now, CDC says 10% is okay. Someone commented today that if we're going to we'd like to have that down closer to 5% whenever we make decisions to go back to school and to do the other things in society, but that has come down, which we're pleased with. And then this just illustrates the challenge again with our commercial labs, even though we're still maintaining really a high level, and we're going to do a lot of tests this month that will, should be 3% of our population this month that's tested, which is a lot of testing, but we're struggling with our commercial labs and getting those at a higher number that we need to, and we hope we can make progress on that. I believe that I'll come back to that here in just a minute. Before I bring Mitchell Simpson in, let me ask Dr. Jose Romero, who's been a good partner in our first day, if you'll come make your comments.
This is Dr. Jose Romero. He's the Acting Health Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Before I begin, let me thank Governor Hutchinson for this unique and privileged opportunity of serving the public of Arkansas. So I'll take a little bit deeper dive. As mentioned previously, we've had 699 new cases. These were comprised of 688 community cases, no reported cases from nursing home facilities, and 11 correctional cases. We have 471 individuals hospitalized. That's an increase of 18 from yesterday. Individuals on a ventilator now have increased by 6 and represent 111. Our total deaths have increased by 6 and are now at 363. And we have a total recovered number of patients or individuals at 26,397. Our active cases at this time are 7,127, and this is comprised of 121 individuals in nursing homes, 1,093 individuals in correctional facilities, and 5,953 individuals in community cases. The governor has mentioned our total number of cases. Our testing, as mentioned, is currently at a positivity rate of 9.6. But our cumulative positivity rate, that is rolling, if you will, average of the positivity is 7.8 at this time. We tested 5,689 specimens for the 19th of July. Approximately one-third of those were tested at the public health laboratory by the Arkansas Department of Health. The remainder were made up of private, commercial, and UAMS specimens. And as mentioned by the governor, we have 11 counties which have been already named as counties having cases greater than 20 or equal to 20. So I'll stop there and turn this back over to the governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Merrill. Arkansas has been allocated $8.2 million of CARES funding that will allow us to provide additional assistance for those that are struggling with their electric bills, their utility bills, and it raises the limit, which is currently $500 for utility assistance and energy assistance. It raises that to $1,500, and that allows those who are significantly behind that has to catch up to be able to make application for that purpose. This gives you the highlights of it. Which is run through Arkansas Energy Department. It's a supplemental program that will begin next Monday, July 27th. It can be used for gas, wood, propane, and electricity, and it assists up to $1,500 in maximum benefits. If you go to the next one, this will extend through, well, it's crisis intervention benefits, regular benefits, so it's summarized in that fashion. It's handled by the Office of Energy, but at the last slide, I think you can see where you go to your community action agency that's in various parts around Arkansas, and anyone in Arkansas can apply for this, and this will go through September 30th of 2021 or until that $8.2 million is expended. With that, I'll ask Mitchell Simpson, the director of the Office of Energy, associate director, if he would come and elaborate on that just for a moment. Yes.
Thank you, Governor. On behalf of Governor Hutchinson and our secretary, Becky Keough, at the Arkansas Department of Energy and Environment, I've been asked to come talk to you a little bit about an exciting relaunch of our LIHEAP program, which stands for Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. This, with the $8.2 million that we received through the Federal CARES Act, Arkansas is able to launch an enhanced LIHEAP program. We will do that by deploying LIHEAP through two allocations. $6.97 million will go to a supplemental crisis program, and $1.23 million will go to an air conditioning program. These programs will assist low-income Arkansans who have accumulated larger than normal past due balances on their electric and natural gas bills, or who have depleted their supply of winter fuel, such as propane, natural gas, or even wood. There are three big points to make about this particular program. One of them being that it differs from the traditional program, which is utility focused only, by not only focusing on utility, but also including those winter heating fuels, as I mentioned earlier. The second thing to mention is that, as Governor mentioned, the maximum benefit has increased from $500 per household to $1,500 per household for the crisis program. And then the third big thing to mention is that typically the crisis program requires an applicant to present a shutoff notice during this time, especially when folks are affected by COVID-19, applicants can submit a past due notice to qualify for the crisis program. The second program that we'll use these CARES Act dollars to support is the air conditioner program. Again, this is for low-income qualifying folks. And in addition to being income eligible, they must also meet one of four other qualifying conditions. The household must have someone in the household who's categorized as elderly. Someone in the household must have a disability, must have a child who's aged 5 or under, or they have a medical condition that requires air conditioning, which would be verified by a medical statement. The benefit of that program is if a household has central air conditioning, that household can benefit from cleaning or repair. If that repair is not able or possible within the guidelines of this program, that household may qualify to receive a window air conditioning unit. As Governor Hutchinson mentioned, both of these programs are scheduled to launch July 27th, so that's a week from today. And if you want more details, reach out to your community action agency for that information. And also later today, we should expect to have the contact information for those community action agencies on our website at the Arkansas Department of Energy and Environment. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Governor.
Thank you, Mitchell. With that, we'll take any questions.
Over the weekend, the New York Times reported that there was a group of Republican governors that had been holding regular conference calls at night without members of the administration on the call or other Democratic governors on the call. Are you part of that group?
Well, there very likely will be various calls going on depending upon the region of the country. But yes, I have a fairly regular call with other Republican governors to talk about what's happening in their state, and I do participate in that.
What have been the benefits, and did your conversations with those governors at all impact your decision to order the mask mandate?
No, it didn't actually cover the mask mandate because, you know, there's, you know, every governor's making individual decisions based upon their state and where they are in cases. But, you know, where the benefit has come from my standpoint, is discussions as to how to use the federal money that's allocated to each state and getting ideas as to how other states are utilizing that money. You get ideas that you might not have thought of otherwise. Now that we're going back to school, that was a big topic of conversation in the last one, where you're hearing how other governors are handling that, what the issues are that they're facing, and that's a great benefit as well.
You mentioned,
Governor, this is Jamie Weiss for 4029 News.
All right, if you could wait just a minute, we got a question from Alex, then we'll come right back to you.
Thanks. You mentioned the positivity rate at 10% is really where it needs to be to open schools. Does that mean if we exceed that you will consider not opening schools?
No, I know that there's a lot of factors whenever you look at the level of spread of COVID-19 in our community. And one of those is the positivity rate. And that's obviously a factor. You know, when you're below 10%, you've met the CDC guidelines, but you know, it's got to be lower than that. And people need to understand that whenever you have that 9% or 8% positivity rate, then you know, it does spread to a greater extent. So I just want to challenge everybody that this is something that we watch. If we want to get back to normal, that's got to be reduced more. And you remember whenever we showed that before, we were down below 5%. And I think that was back in June timeframe, early June. And so we've gone up since then. We're starting to go down a little bit. We just need to go down more. Now, Channel 2940.
Thanks, Governor. This is Janie Weiss with 4029 News. You mentioned you are calling in 10 National Guard members to assist at Washington Regional. Are they only going to be doing paperwork as far as case management, or will they be actually helping on the front lines of this crisis? And do you anticipate needing to call in more National Guard members for other hospitals in Northwest Arkansas?
That's the only request that we have received, and of course we want to be responsive to it. And again, we set the precedent for that by providing that National Guard assistance in Central Arkansas back in April. Stephanie might be able to come and talk a little bit more as to what it means to be a case manager. It is not simply contact tracing. It's really a step deeper than that in managing it. And Stephanie, do you want to comment on that?
Thank you, Governor. I would just say case management. Oftentimes our nurses are doing a lot of activities that fall into that case management category, and one of the consistent problems has been adequate nursing staff in our hospital facilities. So my understanding is that these case managers will be doing things that you don't necessarily have to have a nurse to do. Normally a nurse might do them, but by having these additional staff, now it frees up a nurse to do things only a nurse can do.
That was Stephanie Williams, Chief of Staff at the Health Department.
Yes.
Governor, could you provide an update on the state's efforts on reaching the 200,000 testing goal for the month of July and where we are in that?
Well, right now at this stage, which is July 20th, with what, 10 days left in the month, reaching 200,000 is going to be a difficult goal to achieve unless the commercial labs kick it up to a higher level in terms of their turnaround time, in terms of their capacity. And so the Department of Health, well, you can see it there, thank you, that you see that we're 112,000. And so, you know, I think we'll be able to meet the, hopefully the 180,000, which would be 6% of our population. It's just gonna be a challenge to get to 200,000 where we are right now. I've asked Dr. Romero, and you can comment on this if you wish, to what more can we do? And so we are implementing, as you can see, more testing locations through our Department of Health. The pop-up labs or the taking the test. We're also looking at utilizing additional partners. So we're doing what we can within the Department of Health, but whenever you're looking at more partners, they're generally relying upon the commercial labs. And so again, that just increases that backlog. So we're looking at ways to do it, but it's going to be a challenge with the reduction in the commercial lab production. Let's go remotely again.
Hi, Governor. This is Susanna with Ozarks at Large. Can you hear me okay?
I can, just fine.
I have a question about Benton County. This relates to sort of the resistance to the mask mandate. The Quorum Court there is considering a resolution upholding the Bill of Rights and people's right to resist infringement on their constitutional rights. Just wondering what your response to that is. And as a follow-up, you know, with all these law enforcement agencies and the Quorum Court here in Benton County resisting the mandate, I mean, how effective do you think it'll be ultimately? Do you feel like it'll impact the effectiveness of what you're trying to do?
Well, first, in terms of resolutions that are out there, I believe in the Bill of Rights. I stand for the Bill of Rights. But whenever you're simply in a public health crisis, asking people to take a step to protect one another, that's what you have to do whenever you're in a public health crisis. So it's been implemented in a reasonable way. When it comes to law enforcement, I've been very pleased with the response. Certainly you have some that have expressed their opinion on the matter, but by and large, they're law enforcement officers. They don't pick and choose as to what law they're going to enforce generally. They enforce the law. Now, they always set priorities. I recognize that, but I've been encouraged by the response by law enforcement, and they understand that they have a role to play in education and reminding people, and I think that will produce good results. You know, our objective is to increase the number of people, the percent of people that protect others by wearing a mask. And so the mandate should achieve that goal, and I have some confidence in that.
Governor, this is Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. If the decision is made to push the start of the school year beyond Labor Day, when would you anticipate making that decision, and what would be the tripwires involved for making it?
Well, Mike, let me emphasize, I do not expect changing the date from where it is now. Nobody can predict the future, but there's not any discussions about changing the date. I heard that there was a rumor out there that I was going to make some big announcement today. I'm not making a big announcement. I'm not thinking about making a big announcement because we've moved it forward for 2 weeks. Everybody's counting on that. That's where it is. That's where I expect it to stay. And so there's not any real discussion, Mike, about extending it beyond Labor Day.
Governor,
Just a second. Let me come back to the table here, Alex.
Can you elaborate on what medical conditions might be exempt from the mask ordinance, and if people would need like a note from the doctor to qualify for this exemption?
I'm going to let Dr. Romero, since that's a medical question, to comment on that. Dr. Romero.
And Dr. Jose Romero, Acting Health Secretary of Arkansas.
So without being expansive of the number of conditions, they would be conditions that would impede respiratory effort by the individual. So somebody with chronic pulmonary disease, COPD, as possibly, again, young, very young children. But there are a number of conditions. There is no indication in the bill, in the draft itself to have a doctor's note. But if you have a condition that is medically indicated, that indicates some type of respiratory compromise, then there is no need to wear a mask.
All right, back remotely, please.
This is Crystal Martinez with KNWA News. Governor, I wanted to ask you, at the end of June in Texas, Governor Abbott decided to shut down bars due to hospitalizations and an increase in the infection rate. So at what point will Arkansas maybe reconsider shutting down bars or gyms, considering we have more hospitalizations than Texas has right now?
You know, we monitor that very carefully, and as you know, we've utilized our public health officials, but also our alcohol beverage control officers to keep an eye on the bars and their and restaurants in terms of their compliance with the public health guidelines. They were out there over this weekend. There was a higher level of compliance. There were a couple of citations, I understand, that were issued. As long as we see data that indicate that there's not an increase in cases that are directly attributable to lifting some of the restrictions, then I don't intend to tighten them up. It's all about what's causing the spread, whether people are complying, and these are people's jobs, their livelihood, it's their investment, and you should not be shutting them down, you should not be putting more restrictions on them, unless there's a absolute substantial data-driven, science-driven medical reason to put a restriction on. So that's our philosophy. I want them to comply. They're working hard at it. And if we have to take additional steps, we will. But right now, we don't want to put any more restrictions on. We want the mask to work. If everybody participates in it, then that's a good way to keep our economy moving and not having to put restrictions on.
In the mask mandate, there's an exemption for counties that fall below a certain number of cases. Has the health department certified any counties as reaching that point yet?
No, it's my understanding that no county has reached that criteria.
Governor, one more question for you. It's been about 3 weeks since long-term care facilities reopened to visitors. Have you gotten any feedback on how that's been for those residents and operators, or any safety issues that have been brought to your attention since they reopened?
I have not. It's the only thing I've heard is that a couple of them haven't met the criteria. They're anxious to be able to open up and meet that criteria so that family members can visit their loved ones in the long-term care facility. But Dr. Romero, did you have any information on that?
Yep.
I think it's going smoothly at this point because they're all being very careful and they know how important it is to make sure they keep everyone healthy. Is there a final question?
Governor, yes, Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Given for your ongoing comments about hoping for federal help, the Defense Production Act for testing, how concerned are you about reports out of Washington about no additional money if there is another corona bill for HHS or the Centers for Disease Control to help with testing? And have you been in contact with our congressional delegation about that? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I expect that if they pass another federal bill, that there will be the assistance for contact tracing. Testing will be a priority in there, and any additional assistance for starting school. I expect those to be the priority. I know there'll be a lot of negotiation before they reach the final result, but they understand, everyone understands the importance of strengthening our commercial testing capacity, and I expect that to happen. And that is reflected by the fact that our congressional delegation signed the letter to the Vice President expressing greater national support for increasing that commercial testing capability. Thank you very much today. Look forward to seeing you again. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just before we go through the numbers that we heard today, we should take a look back at the weekend. We saw last Friday an increase of 648 new coronavirus cases. That brought the state's total to 31,762. Over the weekend, we saw a total of just under 1,500 new cases added, 1,466 new cases over the weekend, in addition to four new deaths. Today, we hear that there is an additional 699 new Arkansans to test positive for the coronavirus. That brings the total number of people who have ever tested positive for the virus in the state to 33,927. Of those, just over 7,127 are considered active cases. That includes just over 1,000 cases among inmates of the state's correctional facilities, 1,093 total cases there. And we have seen an additional six deaths from COVID-19 today. That brings the total there to 363. We've seen an additional 18 Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19 for a total of 471. And that includes a total of 111 people who are currently on a ventilator. We see currently that the state's positivity rate of coronavirus tests are just under the 10% that is recommended by the World Health Organization, not to exceed that 10%. We currently are at 9.6% of positivity rate here in Arkansas. Over the past 24 hours, we saw Washington County have the highest increase in new cases with 94 new cases. Here in Pulaski County, we saw 60 new cases, and up in northwest Arkansas again at Benton County, 57 new positive test results. Then we heard an announcement about a new program from the Arkansas Department of Energy, $8.2 million coming from the Federal CARES Act given to Arkansas to essentially help Arkansans with their electric bills. That raises the limit of assistance for low-income Arkansans up to $1,500 that they can get, and then that program will be starting on July 27th when applications can be accepted. Again, you've been listening to the Governor's Daily Briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KYR, and thank you for listening. This is KYR News.